100% born in the Appalachian Mountains and made in the USA, Timber Ninja Outdoors provides a range of mobile hunting options to accommodate diverse hunting preferences. Whether you prioritize comfort, lightweight design, or versatility, their two-panel and single-panel saddles collection has something for everyone. The Black Belt Nano is the lightest single-panel saddle available on the market, weighing in under a pound. The saddle is designed with the minimalist hunter in mind, focusing on lightweight functionality and breathability. One notable feature is the patent-pending magnetic stick clip system on the side, which allows for convenient transportation of sticks up the tree, as well as a built-in platform holder. The Nano saddle can be folded up to the size of a Nalgene bottle, enabling easy portability. With a four-way stretch material on the back for a comfortable fit, as well as strategically placed padding for hip pinch relief, you can use code EASTMEETSWEST to get free shipping on any Timber Ninja order. If you try it out and don't like it, send it back within 30 days for a full refund. Learn more at TimberNinjaOutdoors.com and sign up for their email newsletter for exclusive discounts and product drops. When it comes to optics, I get the same question over and over again. What are the best all-around binoculars? Well, it's tough to find something that works in every condition great, but after using a pair of Maven B1.2 10x42s, I think I found them. They feature an 8x or a 10x option, superior low light performance, tack sharp edge-to-edge clarity, a generous depth of field, and a silky focus mechanism. All of Maven Optics have a lifetime no-fault warranty and hail from the great state of Wyoming. I've been using Maven Optics since I bought my first pair in 2017, and I think you should test them out for yourself. Head over to mavenbelt.com and use the code EASTMEETSWEST-GIFT for a free gift with any full-price optics order. For all of those that want a truck bed cover for work or play, Diamondback makes the top-of-the-line, heavy-duty covers that help you do more with your truck. They're perfect for the truck-owning, avid sportsmen, outdoor enthusiasts, and weekend project warriors. I'm currently using the HD cover that is capable of holding up to 1,600 pounds on the top. And then I have the Yakima Overhaul HD bars on top so I can put my rooftop tent on it. When I'm not using my rooftop tent and able to use the trifold design of the Diamondback, I have the Crossbin 8 in there to organize all of my stuff in the back of my truck bed. Diamondback is made right here in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. If you want to check them out, head over to diamondbackcovers.com. If you've wanted that hunting camp tradition that we talk about, that experience, but you don't have a hunting camp of your own, you're welcome to come stay at my hunting camp up here in the Pennsylvania Wilds called the Elk Crossing Getaway in the PA Wilds. So if you go over to Airbnb, you can check out our three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house that's right in the heart of Pennsylvania elk country. It's only minutes away from a bunch of public land to be able to hunt, hiking trails, outdoor recreation, fishing, all of those things there. The house is completely fully stocked with everything that you need to be able to spend a week hunting deer, taking your family up to see the elk, anything like that. So if you head over to Airbnb and search Elk Crossing Getaway in the PA Wilds, you'll find my listing there and you can rent out my house. Send us a message, an inquiry that you're interested in it and mention that you heard it on the podcast here, then we'll get you 10% off of your first stay.
Are you an adventurer looking to take your hunt to the next level? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to East Meets West Hunt with your host, Bo Martonic.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the East Meets West Hunt podcast presented by Spartan Forge. On today's episode, I am joined for part two with Johnny Stewart and Rendell Eric. We discuss learning how to pick out things mature deer like, how to trust your gut, smart buck skirting hunting pressure, phases of a hunting area, and much more. If you want to listen to last week's episode, if you haven't listened to that one yet, I'd recommend you listen to that first and then this one for part one of this conversation. On this week's Mountain Buck Monday Story of the Week, we have a story coming out of Pennsylvania from Linford Kaufman. So Linford wrote in, "First of all, I wanted to say I really enjoy your podcast, especially when you have fellow PA boys on. My 2023 PA archery season could not have ended any better than how it did on my birthday, which is on Halloween. I had never shot a deer on my birthday, and this year I decided to take all day off to try and get one, especially after I saw that a major cold front was scheduled to hit and also after my younger brother urged me to do so. I was so pumped to know I'd be in the woods all day that I literally felt like a 12-year-old kid who was going rifle hunting with her dad for the first time. I sat till about 1 p.m. and only saw one doe, and that's when I decided to move up higher on the mountain for the evening sit. Around 6:10, I saw two does coming my way, followed by a buck. I knew well that I had dubbed the Big Eight, as I had 2 years of trail cam pics of them. I came to full draw, bleated with my mouth to stop him, and was able to connect at 32 yards. As he ran, I noticed my shot was higher than I would have liked, but due to the fairly steep angle, I took out both lungs, and he only made it 30 to 40 yards before he stopped, stood there for a few seconds, and then I saw his back leg stiffen up, and he fell right there on the logging road in full view of my stand. To say I was relieved and excited that I'd made a good shot and my best buck to date was definitely an understatement. He gross scored at 132 and 1/8 inches, but I think that the most unique thing is that his brow tines are close to 12 inches wide. I must say it was a pretty special birthday. I've been hunting for about 25 years, and that feeling of excitement and adrenaline when a deer gets close never gets old. Well, congratulations, Linford. That is an absolutely awesome buck, stud Pennsylvania deer, and I loved reading your story when you submitted it here, because one of the things is just like the way you wrote it, I could feel your emotion and your excitement as you were writing this afterwards. Like, to me, that shows everything, how excited you were. So cool. And I urge everybody to go check out the pictures of Linford's buck over on Instagram at East Meets West Hunt, or Facebook, East Meets West Outdoors. Check that out. And I'd love for all of you that have some successful mountain buck, big woods buck stories, want to send them in to my email, bodeastmeetswesthunt.com, and just put in the subject line Mountain Buck Monday, so I know what it's related to there. And I'd love to be able to share them on a future episode. All I need is a short paragraph or two and some photos to go along with it. Love this stuff. So keep sending them in. I've got a bunch in the queue to come. So if you haven't seen yours yet, don't worry about it. It's coming. And looking forward to being able to share them. So this weekend, we have the Mountain Buck Scouting Camp for 2024. I am so freaking pumped about this to be able to get back together with everybody. And it's funny, out of all the people that are coming, literally a quarter of them are repeats from previous years, which is pretty awesome to be able to see. So I'm excited to be able to see everybody again and hang out and get to scout a new area for the camp this year. So completely different terrain, habitat type, everything else, and integrating some more clear cuts and some different stuff there, some logging cuts and whole bunch of different things. So super excited about that camp coming up, and been preparing for it, trying to make sure everything goes smooth. So we'll see how it goes. And other than that, I just appreciate everybody listening to the podcast and sharing their support, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening to the audio feed or however else that you're taking. And I really appreciate it. And if you do find value in this, I really appreciate it when you guys send the podcast to your friends, family, anyone that you think can benefit from it, because word of mouth is the best way for this podcast to be shared with other people and be able to get the information across. So I really do appreciate that. And if you would, please give it a rating and review wherever you listen to it. Or if you're on YouTube, subscribe and leave a comment. Let me know you're around. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to, and this is part two with Johnny Stewart and Rendell Eric.
Yeah. I was out scouting the other day and I had ran a camera on this one scrape that was kind of in this saddle on the edge of where it broke over the hill, and there's some hemlock. It was just a good edge of a lot of things. And I didn't put the camera up. I didn't find the scrape until December. And I was getting some bachelor groups, and then this older buck that would come out last, and he'd hit the scrape. Not super often, but often enough in daylight, middle of the day, that I was like, he's somewhere close by. He's just not hitting this scrape, you know, all the time. And I was like, so he's living here. So I went through and was dissecting it, and I found what I think is his bedding area. And I started just walking trails and rub lines that left out of it. And I was like, there's like five or six different ways, you know, that he was coming in and out of this spot and which direction he's going, which made sense why you're not, you know, getting them all the time there. But also I was like, okay, if I want to hunt that scrape there, I sat down in his bed and looked. I'm like, he's got me. So anytime I hunted it, I'd see those small bucks, but I never saw him. And I'm like,
he knew you were there.
Yeah, he knew I was there. He knew 100% that I was there. And then, you know, and then I'm like, okay, if I could try to get closer or to this, and I'm like, I still don't know how I would do it. And I'm like, that's why he's there. You know, he's got it figured out.
I was telling that one guy was doing some consulting for him, and he called me with a spot that he had, and he needed help trying to locate this deer. Well, he knew where he was. He was an isolated, like, piece of timber, maybe 5-10 acres, and it was all ag around, you know. And it was actually a little rise, like a little hump in the field. And he was like, you know, that, I said, that deer, I said, maybe try the southeast corner. I said, but he probably lays in there where he could see out in the their ag all around them. I said, that's a tough spot to hunt. And he was thinking like it was a total coincidence that his situation that he was coming to me with was just a random situation that the deer, he couldn't get close to this like 130, which was a big buck in the area.
Yeah,
I said, no, that's how they live. When you find where they're at, you can't get to them. And he was just like, oh, and he was just like, so like, are you kidding me? Is that how it is? I thought my spot was just like, he called me because he had it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, and I was trying to help him the best I could, but I said, it's going to be hard getting this. You might have to go in before light or maybe set up and watch him from a distance, this and that. He's like, get out of here. Is that right? I thought this was just one situation where I couldn't get in. I said, no, that's how all the situations are when a mature deer. They are set up in an area when you can't get to them. And he just, like, lost it. He couldn't believe that that's how it was. He thought it was just a coincidence that his spot he couldn't get into, and that's why I was consulting with me about it.
Everywhere.
It was wild when it went off for me, like, clicked.
Yeah,
like,
it's a light bulb.
Are you kidding me? This is how it – because he was trying to shoot an older class deer. But
aha moment.
Going back to what you said about the grandpa up in a chair by himself, it was so cool being out at the Harrisburg show. Bill Thompson from Spartan Forge was there, and he was talking to someone, and he shot some big deer in some rugged land way back, you know, and he was – the one guy come up to him and talking, and he said – it was great. Bill dumbed it down like, boom. He said, if you're seeing all the does and the, you know, spikes and fours, you're not in the right area. You got to go way back to where the old, you know, deer is. He said, you know, it's just – and like he made it so sound so easy because he's – done it, and he's like, it's like Rambo. He said, is Rambo out in the woods in the middle of the Viet Cong? He's like, no, all the soldiers are out here trying to find him. He's way over there hiding, trying to snipe way off in the distance. So is Rambo going to be in amongst that? No, Rambo's all by himself. You got to go hunt Rambo. And it was, I'm like, you know, I love analogies.
That's awesome.
That was perfect. Like, he was exactly right. He's over by himself on that point, and all the does and this and here. He might come down at night, or you know, he might smell them with the thermals and go to them at night and this and that. But Rambo, if you want to hunt Rambo, he's in and amongst that because he's going to get killed. He's over by himself, hiding out. You know, and it was like, I know the show went on, and where the next day I was like, Bill, that was an awesome analogy you had. I said, it was something about hunting mountains and. What was the analogy? He's like, Rambo. I was like, yeah, tell me it again because I forgot. Yeah. I was like, dude, that's spot on. Like,
he used it three times on me today when we were driving around.
Yeah, I was like, he said, if you're seeing no deer, you're in the right spot.
Rambo.
You know?
Exactly.
And that was.
And a key, I'll let a key go right now. I've said this a couple times, but where I've killed most of those booners, nobody would hunt, dude.
Mm-hmm.
There was literally the crappiest sign ever. Like, nobody would ever. Like, that 175, there was a rub this big. That's it. Nothing. And the 181 I shot, nothing. No rubs, no scrapes.
So why'd you think he was there?
Instinct. Tracks.
Tracks.
Yes. I found the 175.
A safe place for him to be.
175, I found his track postseason scouting. My buddy just wanted to go shed hunting. So I was like, yeah, we'll go to this place I've never been to. Who cares? And, man, I just cut this massive track, and I followed it kind of back. And I looked back. I never went all the way. I just looked back there, and I was like, oh, there's a point coming out right here. He's going to be bedded past that because it was just a bitch to get to.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't even go. I was like, oh, man, I'm not going back there. And then I hunted, and one day I was like, oh, man, I need somewhere to go. And I was like, oh, I remember that spot. And I was like, yep. Looked at the aerial, and I was like, oh, I got the perfect wind. It's going to be coming right off that point. And I went in, and I waited up through this channel in the water all the way up to this point and went up. And I noticed there was a bunch of honey locusts. And I was like, ooh, secondary food source. He's going to stage right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up there, and I looked out in the bay, and I could see his rack out there. And then, man, he came right in there. I shot him at 5 yards. So I was only like 9 feet off the ground.
Oh, my gosh. That is
I got awesome. That one on video. It was dope. I haven't released a video yet, just so anybody's curious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are you going to release it at when you do?
Oh, I don't even know, man. I might just put it as a reel, like on my Instagram or something. I might just throw it up there.
Dude, that like is freaking awesome.
You know, 1 minute clip or something.
That
and then like the 181, no sign. The other couple booners I shot, there was really no sign there. They're just off on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And just using like instinct, like, all right, it just looks like there would be a mature buck there.
Well,
and it'd be really hard for most people to hunt it. Like, people would avoid it because of some, like, terrain feature, something you got to go through. Or I always run into guys in a parking lot, like, you're like, you're insane. I wouldn't shoot a buck back there because I'd have to drag him out.
Yeah. It's,
I'm going there, baby. Like, drop it on the map where you're not going to go. I'll go there right now. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'll do anything.
Yeah.
I just want to shoot him. I'll worry about that later.
Yeah.
So it's just things like that, man. Just, like, spots you just key in on.
Well, you know, okay, so for anybody listening, you know, we talked about earlier about dumbing it down, finding the sign, hunting it, and then all you're talking about not hunting the sign. And I'm not saying that you're talking out of both ends of your mouth, but for the way that you're looking at it, are you finding sign in maybe surrounding areas that like let you know that you think a big deer is laying there or not laying there, but in the area? And then that's where like the instincts kick in.
A lot of the bigger bucks, I found the beds postseason.
Yeah, okay. Really, no rut sign, no scrapes.
Yeah.
But you find them big beds. And yeah. You said,
I knew it. Like, how would I kill this deer?
You sit down in there and you say, this is a smart deer living here or probably like track. And
then I scout it out and I find the chink. Like, where would I be?
Where you can catch
it. And then that 175, I just had enough experience where I could just do it on the fly. Like, okay, I need to be low because he could see me out of the bed. If I get too high, he's going to skyline me. And my wind's dropping perfect. He's going to come right up onto this point, hit these honey locusts. Like, it's all experience, you know? Mm-hmm. You just gain the knowledge. It's from me screwing up tons of deer.
I mean,
I've had 200-inch bucks come out, and, I just jacked it up. Just doing dumb crap, you know?
Yeah.
And then you learn, oop. I'm never doing that again, you're just out there and you see, oh, that buck came out 300 yards out there. That's a weird spot for him to be. What was he doing? Man, I'll go scout that spot postseason and go see what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
Or, man, he was eating over here. That's weird.
What's he eating?
Yeah, I'll go see what they're eating, and I learn these different, because I really key on like bedding areas, but I'm looking for their travel route out. So I'm like, where's this? Because they don't always go straight to food. You know, their main food source, like corn, beans, something like that. I look for the secondary, and that's kind of their staging area. They're going to hang up like that 100-yard bubble.
Some browse or honey locust.
Yeah, it's like being in your living room, you know?
Yeah.
You're just walking around in your underwear in here, but if you go outside the door, you're going to put pants on.
Yeah.
And you're going to be looking around like, okay. But in here, you're just whatever.
Chill.
So if I can break that bubble without him knowing I'm there, usually they're not aware. They're just going to come out and just do whatever.
And that's what we were talking earlier about him. I started running videos for early season and just checking the, like where we went today, the demeanor of the deer. I showed him the video on a scrape. It was just like, and it was an old deer, 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
And just his demeanor to me was like, this is a safe area. I'm in his bubble. I can kill this deer here because he's not, it was 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, he wasn't on guard looking for deer. And so, with a photo, you're just getting the scrape, but then with the video, you could just tell how calm he is.
Oh, yeah.
And I can catch him in here. And then there's times with the video also, like if I put too much human scent in around a scrape, then they start backing up and moving and this and that. And then it's like, wow, I messed that up a little bit. But, man, yeah, check their demeanor with them videos. And you could just judge that he's relaxed state. Yeah. You know, when he's on point and he's hard, you know, when he gets into, like, an area where there could be guys and he's kind of, you know, maybe going into an area once he was sent check for a doe or going out to a field, he'll wait for the other does. He's not committing, but when he's in that bubble and he's safe, you know, he just changes, man. It's relaxed, you know.
Yeah, and it's like that 200-inch buck. I had every north wind, he was in this one draw. So I'd go in there and scout it. Nothing. No rubs, no scrapes. But he was in there. I got on him like 60 yards twice, and, man, I totally screwed it both times. But, I mean, you learn by that. Like, that opened my eyes. Like, oh, this 200-inch buck's living in here, but there ain't no sign. Or I find where there's like a – it's just the signs like this living room in here. That's it. And then you might hit it 200 yards out. He just got one rub, another 200 yards, one rub or something. It's like he knows, like, if I leave this bubble and leave sign, I'm screwed. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to track me
back.
They can
follow it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it's just in their bedding area. And then I see that. So I think, and like you saying, talking about both sides of my mouth, hot signs more for if I didn't postseason scout.
Yeah.
So that's where that is. If you're in the hoof, like, man, I killed in Iowa, I'm going to Illinois, baby, let's get it. Didn't do any postseason scouting. I'm just looking for a hot sign. And then you see that. That's where you, like, you need to set up on that like that instead of dicking around, you know?
Yeah.
But after you learn all this bedding stuff, man, you can roll in a spot like I did in Indiana and be like, oh, Spartan Forge, looks like a clear cut. There's got to be a mature deer in there. And then you just roll in there and set up. Because they all have things in common, just like you were saying. All big buck killers have the same
intangibles. They come together at some point.
Yes. So all big bucks come together on certain key features. And once you learn this, you can look on an aerial and hit that damn LIDAR. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can look at that LIDAR, and that gives away a ton of info for me. Like, I can pick out spots really good where I think a mature buck would be with the LIDAR layer on Spartan Forge.
Yeah. And you know, 100%. And the other thing, like, one thing my cousin Mason does really well, like, I've scouted with him too, and the spots I've seen him kill deer. So, Mike Rendell, in case you haven't seen any of the stuff that Mason's very not social media wise. I've had him on the podcast a bunch, but he doesn't do that. He's a couple years younger than me, but he's, to give you a frame of reference, in Pennsylvania, in the last 6 years, he's killed four over 140 on public land. And the other one of the other ones was a 10 plus year old deer that was just downhill below that size. Like, just
dude, he's getting
consistent. And the places you see him kill these deer aren't places other people are going to be.
Exactly.
And when I've been with him scouting, it's funny, Mason's gotten better at explaining it because I asked so many questions, but like from the podcast standpoint, but he's like, it just feels right.
Yeah.
He's like, it just, you know, because you start seeing these things, it's like, it just feels right. And he's like, you know, a lot of times it doesn't have that sign. Maybe there's sign in the fringes or, you know, in the nighttime spots, but just like, you look at these places and it's like, okay, you start to see that. Now all of a sudden you start recognize that again. Then, like you said, now you look at Spartan Forge and it's like, boom, I bet you there's a deer laying
right
somewhere in this area, you know, and start.
Yeah. You can be like, on this wind, he'll be sitting here. Just like Johnny's like, he'd never even been there. And he's like, that buck's laying right up there. That buck, he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and he was there, dude.
He was there.
I mean, you just gamble with it and you get lucky.
Yeah,
it's
and
just
your
all
experience, instincts.
Yeah, and if every time I don't listen to my gut in the woods, it screws me.
Yeah.
My gut would be like, sit here. And then my little devil, Johnny Devil over here, will be like, don't sit there, Rendell.
Go in a little further.
Yeah, the thermals aren't right because this wind speed, and there's a donkey over there. It's going to dynamic the wind a different way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, bro, I hear you. I'm going to go to that tree 250 yards away. Guess what?
Yeah.
That, or I'm in the tree, and guess what comes out?
Yeah.
A damn buck that I would shoot right next to that spot where the little devil told me not to sit.
And the problem is, though, it's not as easy as just trusting your gut, because sometimes that devil sounds like your gut.
Oh, yeah.
He's over there,
he's good at,
and he's like, he's mixing in, and you're like, is this my gut, or is this the devil talking?
Yeah.
And it's hard to...
I feel like my gut is when I'm not even thinking, because I feel like like when he's scouting or doing anything, and me too, my brain's not really processing in the moment consciousness. I feel like my brain's just doing it.
Yeah.
Like if you were walking with me, I wouldn't even be talking. I'd just be like, do, yeah. You know, talking to you about whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, we need to sit right here, right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're just, you got so much experience, you're just you're auto computing. So it's like right my gut. I know it's my gut because it's the first instinct, just like boom, that's where you need to be, dude. It's when I start doing all the other things. Okay, I'm going to drop the milkweed. All right. Yeah. Oh, man, the wind's swirling.
All these other things,
The wind's swirling 30 yards away. There's a scrape. Is he going to come downwind? How far downwind? It's when I start adding all this other crap, and then I know that's not my instinct. That's just my brain overanalyzing what my instincts tell me to do.
It kind of talks you right out of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Well, and that's where it's nice to call someone maybe you really know. I'm like, what do you think? Okay. And I do listen to other people because I get – too much going on. I know the area and I know almost too much about the area.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the thing is, it's funny about saying you know too much about the area. It's one of those, it is so true because there's places that I've hunted for the last, 10 years or so that I catch myself going into the same routines because I know things that I've known in the past and I do the same thing. I walk the same way in. I do that. But if I would have walked 20 yards this way in on this, even when I'm scouting, sometimes I'll do the same routes because I'm just subconsciously, that's what I've done because I know those areas. Then you go into somewhat of a newer area, like the place I took you in, rifle season to put those drives on. I used to run cameras there. I'd never even hunted this spot, but I knew some stuff from cameras 2-3 years ago, but I just looked at it and I was like, I set up three or four drives and we pushed bucks off of every one of them. I missed one.
Yeah.
My uncle ended up hitting one and it was just like this, and it was just like, I thought they were, but I almost wonder if, if I would have been hunting it super hard this whole time, I would have overthought it and not just went with like, okay. And it was just really funny how that worked.
Yeah, we looked at a spot, and he's like, the point. And I'm worried about this drain head. That's all I could think about was this, like, saddle drain head thing. And he's like, no, the damn point. And I'm like, nope, I like that drain head. So no matter what he said, I'm like, yep, I like that drain head.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't talk me out of it. I was like, I don't care about that point.
That's funny.
Like, remember that time me, you, and Greg Litzinger, the first time that you met Greg, we all decided to do a camping trip. It was supposed to be a spring scouting trip that turned into like 7 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And we went in the middle of the forest and just literally I picked a spot on a map. I said, let's go there and camp, hang out. We'll have some, have a little deer camp essentially in the freaking freezing cold and go out and go. And we all had the area of this map and we got there. And we all just went this way. We spread in different directions because Greg wanted to check the way the top of this draw worked out that he saw. And he's like, oh, I bet that looks like the elevation level that bucks are going to be working around. You know, you're heading out to this point over here. And I was going to this clear cut over here. And it was just like, it was funny how all of our brains had these things that we were attracted to want to go to. And then we ended up checking all of them out and then finding how it all tied together. But it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
How we did that and scouted together.
You must be a point guy then, Johnny.
Big point guy.
Yeah,
I'm on point, bro.
Yeah, and it's like going into the spring time frame and scouting and everything. Yeah. Like that's looking for me right now, and I was just again we were just talking about how I have so many areas I want to check out and do things, but when you can break it down and find when you have history of like, okay, there was mature bucks in this types of area. I still have a goal of, I try to walk 200 miles every spring. I've been doing it for the last 10 years, but now I'm more specific on the areas I want to be at. And I'm not as worried as much about the total miles versus
quality,
the quality time I spend in an area. If I get to a spot and I'm like, this is good. Instead of just marking it on a map and leaving,
break it down,
spend the time, find trees that make sense. Look at it. Sit down, have a snack, and just kind of look around and see what.
Check the wind.
Do all those things, and it's hard to do because you just want to. At least for me, I just want to go and I want to.
But then you go back there in season, man. And then you're doing all that crap when you're trying to hunt.
Yeah.
Then you get almost this anxiety. You're like, there's five trees.
Have you ever wanted to have Levi Morgan, Andy May, Johnny Stewart, and others available at all times? Well, you can with Cyber Scout from Spartan Forge. Cyber Scout is like the ChatGPT for outdoors men and women. You can ask it any questions related to bow building, scouting, hunting, survival, and a whole lot more. I think you'll be impressed with how it responds. Cyber Scout is currently out now for a select group of early beta testers and will be available to the rest of you really soon. The entire app is a complete tool for planning your hunt with incredible aerial imagery mapping, journaling, deer prediction, and some of the most accurate and detailed weather data. Use the code EASTMEETSWEST to save 20%. And if you're still on the fence, give the 14-day free trial a chance at SpartanForge.ai. CVA has been America's number one selling muzzleloader brand for over a decade. Hunting with a muzzleloader opens up a ton of hunting opportunities across the U.S., and I've been using the Acura series. But they don't only make badass muzzleloaders. Their line of centerfire rifles are great quality and not terrible on the wallet. The Cascade Short Barrel is ideal for tight quarters, deer drives, and quick shots in the big woods. You can check out their line of muzzleloaders, rifles, and accessories for every season and every range at bpioutdoors.com/CVA. If you use the code EASTMEETSWEST10, you'll get 10% off of all CVA products, which includes rifles, muzzleloaders, and accessories.
Man, which one do I need to be in? And you're thinking about all these variables. And then all of a sudden, it's 20 minutes later, dude. And you're like, oh, I need to be in a tree. And then you're like, oh, shit. And you just pick one.
Yeah, just pick one.
It might be right. It might not be. Usually, it doesn't end up good. It's like, oh, damn, I should have been that one.
Yeah.
So, it's like, do your homework.
You get to the spot, and you're like, maybe we should be up here a little bit or down here, you know?
So many times, because I've been doing it for a while where I've really scout a ton in the spring. Yeah. I love it. And I've learned a lot of areas, but I'd come to the season and exactly what you said, I didn't know what tree to be in, or I might know what tree to be in, but I didn't know how to access it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure how to, and then I'm trying to figure that out at that time. And so it's just like trying to learn from those mistakes and try to be more focused on those things when I'm scouting and trying not to overlook some of those details and just pay attention to it and not overthink it. But at the same time, when you see something and your gut's telling you like it's a good spot, just
tear it down right
there. Don't.
I'll even take videos, man. If I find a tree, I'll video it.
Yeah,
because I might forget what the tree looks like.
Yeah,
and if I go in the morning in the dark, it could be a shit show. So I'll video the tree. I'll be like, I need to be right here. My sticks need to be on this side of the tree. I break it down right there on video on my phone. Like, oh, I need two sticks. I need my platform canted at this angle, and I need to be above this one branch. So if it's in the dark, I know if I hit that branch, all right, I'm good to go. Yeah. And man, because you just forget about that, and you're trying to set up. Had happened to me a bunch of times. And you just screw the spot up. Or you don't take enough sticks, or like, hey, man, I'm hunting that tree. Man, I could drop three sticks off and just carry the two that I need, you know?
Yeah.
And just go straight in there and do that. And a lot of guys just find one spot. If I find that bed, man, I'll hit every single route out, go to all the food sources, and I might find three kill spots instead of just, oh, the one's good enough. No, I like to have as many kill spots, and there could be one further away, one closer, because, I mean, if you're getting them daylight and further away from the bed, I mean, you could kill him further away without having to get too close. Usually you got to be in that 100 yards, but sometimes you don't. And then once the deer going to be there, you got to determine that. Like, just because there's a bed there doesn't mean he's using it early season. So determination of, like, when the bed was used is key.
Yeah.
But usually those really good beds are just beat the dirt, man. I like those a lot. But you might find, like, leaf litter over the top and then the hairs underneath. They're like, all right, he was here early. And the hairs will be a little shorter because the coat's short.
Yeah, in early season. Yeah.
So it's just little key details like that. And then just finding out, like, all right, every wind but this wind is going to be my wind, or maybe there's two winds where you could get some play on it. I really spend a lot of time, like, breaking that down because I feel like early season, it's the most patternable, but it's really hard to kill because they're held up. They're mostly nocturnal. So you have to get close. So you have to have that dialed in. And you're not going to stack bucks up early. Like, I used to be like, yeah, baby, I'm going to go to five states September, October, and smack all these bucks. Nah, man.
Yeah.
It takes too many miles, too many hours, too much knowledge. So I feel like you need to concentrate maybe a couple states, really too dig in time, early. Yeah. And then stack your bucks in the rut, because I feel like that's when it's go time. You could just drop in, man, 1, 2, 3 days, and just start hunting like funnels and stuff and really start stacking them up, because they're just up on their feet moving. And then late season kind of goes back to, you know, you're not getting that funnel and you're not getting that early season because you ain't getting close to them late season, mm-hmm. because there's no cover. So that bed hunt, you can piss on that, you know what I mean? Goes back to food, but you're going to have to be, like you're saying, don't go in the damn woods.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Wait for them, man. You're going to have to back off towards the food. And I'm a bed hunter, so that's hard for me to do. Like, I'm like, the closer I am to the damn primary food source, the more I'm like, this sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But everything's bedded so close, man. If you break in that, you're toast.
In the late season, will you try hunting bedding in the mornings as far as trying to get in super early? And
you can, man, yeah, you can. I just find it really tough. I feel like a lot of those mature bucks are already bedded. I feel like they're moving more midday. If it's cold enough.
If you get it cold enough, we're talking late season.
Below zero. Yeah.
Below zero.
And that's what you need.
Yeah, because we went into that spot that you were the day before, and we sat to the south.
Yeah.
And because the one year I seen them on that ridge about 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, and they were just, it was soaked, but it was -7 degrees.
Yeah, you got to have that cold.
Yeah, and I was in there at like 30s, a little bit of snow, and we hunted, and then we went across that ridge. I said, they're already through here.
Yeah.
You know, and then I said, maybe you can catch them. But that front was coming. Yeah, but you end up catching them in that food source. But weather is, man, you get that cold, cold, cold weather for 3 to 4 days. They can't help but move and feed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, outside of that window, they're just nocturnal.
And they're going to stay in that. Yeah, you're exactly right, because the whole first 4 or 5 days in Iowa was just a shit show. I mean, bow hunting, and they were just nocturnal deer.
You're just out there pissing in the wind.
Yeah, and then I said, the snow's coming out, get them. Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's true. You might as well just stay at deer camp and just drink and hang out and eat food.
Yeah, I might have did that once.
Or I don't believe
twice, it. Twice, three.
Fuck it, Randall, let's just get another beer. We'll wait for the snow. Snow's coming Monday. Season's over Wednesday.
Yeah, baby.
We'll wait a little bit.
Yeah, let's get it.
We'll get down to the wire.
Yeah, man. You got to have that cold. Like, the colder, the better. Like, yeah. I'll get down in the -30 and get out there.
Yeah,
it's brutal. But, man, they got to move or they're going to die.
Exactly right. And they're going to be leaving that ag later because they need that, you know.
All my cameras will light up like noon. It's warmest part of the day. They'll move.
Noon, 1, 2.
I saw that here this year, especially because I had more cameras out late than I ever had. And it blew my mind on how many in that middle of the day time frame. Because a lot of, I've always left cameras out, but a lot of times I pull a bunch and, you know, it's only, you know, a select few. And I felt like because I had a tag this year late, I was trying to focus around spots that were late season. And the amount of deer I had between noon and 2 was incredible in the late season. And like multiple deer, it'd be like bachelor, it'd be like small buck, 15 minutes later, here comes this big buck and he come in and hit that scrape. And
and if you hunt in the morning, you're not even seeing those deer, just blew them out because they're already bedded.
Yeah.
Evening, you're not even seeing.
And that actually helps because at that point in the season, you're kind of wore out.
Oh, yeah. You know? Toast, man.
Yeah, sleep in a little bit, you know, get yourself
just
some
bacon. Just not even go out.
Some bacon and eggs, John. Ooh, a little bacon and eggs, a couple cups of coffee.
You know what I'm saying?
Get some biscuits.
Yeah, you're hiking. I remember Bo told me, he said, I was like, I felt it through him. He was going back in that spot. It was a good hike way back in the woods, and he was flintlock or bow hunting way back in there, and it was cold. I'm like, that's tough, dude. You know, I think you went once or twice.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, this dude right here, man, I put on this late season suit that's rated for zero with a t-shirt and jeans on, and he tells me the damn ridge is like 500 yards. 2 miles later, I'm sweating my ass off, and I'm still not there yet. And I'm like, what the hell, Johnny? You know, I'm pissed, man. I'm cussing him under my breath, walking in here, sweating to death. And I finally get there, and I'm like, this sure as hell ain't no 500 yards.
Yeah, my distances are bad.
And then I walk out a different way, and it's way shorter. And I'm like, why the hell didn't he have me come this way? So I told him about it, and he went the short way the next day.
Well, I think the way I was going in, I would always take my muzzleloader
uphill,
and I was hunting my way in, you know, so I could see. But, yeah, that was the – but, you know, I get I get like dyslexic, and I told him, I said, you need to be on that fence.
Yeah.
You're going to be over on that fence. And then my east and west gets fucked. Yeah. I get fucked
and
up.
And then
easy.
He gets in there and he's wondering why the hell I was on the fence.
Yeah, like
he's like, why was he on the fence?
Like, why was he over that fence? He should have been over here. I'm like, I told him, and he's thinking. But in my head, I'm thinking west, southwest. You're gonna be tight to that fence. I'm like, and like, because I was just, I just get all flustered. Then
so he garholed me.
Yeah,
I lost 10 pounds, and he garholed me. He did. He's like, stay right on that fence, man. I was on that thing.
I know.
And then he's like, what?
And I know in the back of his, after I went in the next day, I'm like, why the hell was I telling him he needed to be out here 40 yards away from the fence, right here on the grid?
Exactly, because a lot of them cut out around me, and they were just
I'm like, I know. I was thinking for a west-southwest when I told him to get tight.
Well, listen, Rendell. Like, I don't know if Johnny told you this before, but in 2020 – him and I were sitting in camp one night in gun season. Him and I both had tags in our pocket, and we're both hunting our own areas, and we're struggling. And he's like, why don't we just get together and let's go hunt? So we went and hunted, and long story short, I ended up shooting buck that Johnny was hunting, an 8-year-old deer.
Sweet. I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah. 155-inch 9-point.
Yeah, that thing was a stud. He showed me pictures of it.
18 yards with my 300 Win Mag. And, and anyway, so, but this is where the story's going is Johnny was like, well, let's, you know, we'll just take it down across the creek. I said, Johnny, I came across this creek with you before. I said, that's a river. And he's like, I said, I got my frame pack here. Let's cut him up. Let's take him back up over the hill. No. We want to have that deer back at camp, full body, so everybody can see us. Okay. He's like, me and your dad will get the truck, and we'll take it down around. We'll meet you there in an hour.
Yeah, on the other side of the creek.
So I drag this buck down the hill. It wasn't bad, you know, downhill. So we get down there.
Ride it down there.
I get to the bottom. I'm looking, you know, 100 yards across. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I was like, I had one set of waders in the truck, but I knew they leaked, so I gave those to Johnny, and I just wasn't going to wear anything anyways. No, I didn't know they leaked. I think you found out they leaked.
Give me a set of waders.
Nice. But I had a set of waders, and I was like, I'm just going
to go. I come across to him. His dad stayed on the other side, and we went back across. What if I drop it? What if? And he was worried about the cold. I was like, you got so much adrenaline. You just shot a monster buck.
Yeah, just roll right through it.
You're just going to Rambo right through this.
And then what I did was I tied the buck to my belt loop paracord because I didn't want to lose the buck. I said, if the buck goes down, I go down.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want to get across. And then that's the famous line. So it'll actually be in the new intro for the podcast. I'm having a new intro done.
Yeah,
and they're pulling a quote from you where you're taking the cell phone video of me dragging it across the creek, and you're like, you're dragging 150-inch across the creek, Bo. You're the man. And then you say, you're like, you're going so fast, I can't even keep up with you. It's like, I'm so cold.
I know.
I was flying across that.
His adrenaline was going. It was a pretty epic, you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
Grabbing his 150-inch buck, and this, I was just filming them running across there, dude. It was sick, man. This is like a story, dude.
You need a t-shirt with the buck in the river with you.
Dragging it?
Yeah, with a hook to your belt loop. That'd be dope.
Mm-hmm. That would be.
That would be a dope t-shirt, man.
That was wild.
I like that. And, you know, it was funny because at that point, you know, I was, you know, obviously I was ecstatic at shooting the buck.
Oh, yeah.
I felt so bad because it was one of Johnny's spots. Oh. But he was the complete opposite of like, I don't care. He's like, I'm just so pumped that, you know, you shot that deer.
That's one less deer I got to worry about.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
It easier for him.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was about that deer that I'll never forget was you said, you go, so my dad was going around the point and he was going to wind bump it.
Yeah.
And we were set up and you go, it could be a really old 9-point living out here. You go, I haven't had pictures of him since early October. And you even had a cell cam in there. And you go, I haven't had pictures early October, but I think he's still living there. It was just funny because he was living there, and it was only 80 yards away from the scrape where your cell camera was on.
He never
and you hadn't had him on it, and it was just...
That's wild.
He lived on that point downwind of that scrape, and he would never...
Yeah, because he probably never had to scent check.
Nope.
He could scent check it, so he never had to go up there to
work. And it's one of them big old scrapes you think, I'm going to see every buck in the area here, and he was there a couple times early, but he wouldn't even...
He probably just uses the wind so he doesn't have to walk up there.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember going down off you... You sat up higher where you had pictures of them in late season, like 3 years ago, coming across. And I went down
up on that face, and he went down that point.
And I was going down, and I remember looking, and I was like, where I was going to go, I was like, oh, I could see really good. But I was like, is this buck going to come out here? You know,
yeah.
If an old buck's going to come out, what's he going to do? And I found this little tiny bench, but it wasn't even something that you'd see on a map. Yeah. It was just a little bit. And I was like, you know, but it was steep on this side and steep on this side. And I was like, if I were this deer,
yeah,
you know, I and that's where, like, again, the gut feeling took over. Like, I sat one place and I got up and moved, and he came out and
sneaking.
he was sneaking. Like, you know, even when you think of, you know, deer drives, which it wasn't, I mean, it was wind bump because it was just my dad pushing, but that deer, all I saw was a flash of tines. And when I pulled up my scope, he was looking behind him, looking for a way to circle back in. As soon as he hit that open woods, he's like, no go. Like, I need to get back in there somehow. But he didn't know where my dad was, so he was trying to, like, figure it out. And at that point, it was too late. But
Awesome, man.
I fired two shots faster. The first shot, he was dead, but I had another one in him before he hit the ground.
Just adrenaline right
there. Yeah. Just, I did not want that deer getting away.
He's like, I done messed up. And he shot him.
His dad called me. I said, did that buck with big, long brows? It's you. I said, you got big, long brows? Yep. I said, okay, I know which one it is.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a stud. He showed me pictures of it.
Yeah.
I think it was badass. It had really dark tines. It looked
real like chocolate rack.
Yeah, that's sweet for that's
still my favorite. That's
nine,
my favorite.
Nine and a half or eight and a half?
Eight and a half, eight
And you said it was his best rack.
Best rack.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, that's wild.
He lived an easy life up there, like, you know what I mean? Like, not run down or, you know.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of deer, at least in this area, like, their best racks at seven or eight. It seems like once they hit nine, they start going,
start going
down. I mean, my dad's buck stickers he shot a few years back, it was 170 inches on the dot, and that deer had his best rack at 8 years old when he shot it.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
It's wild how old the bucks get around here.
Yeah.
With and
the but everybody is, talks about how many hunters are in Pennsylvania and there's no big bucks here. Like, that's all everybody keeps telling me.
There ain't.
Well,
none. Nada.
Well, and but
zero.
In reality, I mean, they are very few and far between, and we're just putting on a lot of miles and you know, being able to find them. But
that's
at the same,
a lot of work.
But at the same time, like, when you see the woods in rifle season, like,
that's insane.
It does get pounded by people. And some areas are worse than others, but. You're like, how do they get the one area that I've hunted where, you know, Hercules was in this buck this year? I don't even go in there in rifle season because there's so many people that it's insane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do these deer live? But they and what I've also learned is a lot of times now that they're so used to people driving and doing this stuff, they'll hunker down in a blowdown or whatever.
Just let
you have
you
to step on them.
You're out here in the first couple of days of rifle season. Like, I got all these bucks on camera in November, and I know that I'm going to find them. I remember years ago, I would just walk. No snow, just hike these areas and just try to bump one. I mean, like, I would go days into rifle season. You'd bump the spikes and does, and I'm like, where the hell are these deer? I know I got them on camera. I know they exist. And then you would finally bump one, and you're just like, not even into it now because you're 4 days of hiking and I wasn't even ready. Wore out. But I know the one deer, I'll probably take you to the spot tomorrow. It was like a big flat straightaway, and this buck would come out, and I thought he was crossing the road, you know, well, he was, but like I was going way back across the road, like back in the woods, overthinking, like he's going over to this other clear cut and this and that. But the further I got away from the road on that side, there was no sign. And I just walked up and down the road, you know, and I'm like, I think this deer just, the food was there and everything. I think he just lives right along the road and he just drops down out of sight one way or the other. And I had him on camera. He's like 160 class, 10 point, but 80 yards from the road, I had him, you know, coming up to the road. And actually, the one day in October, I found his tracks in a wet leaves, and he was dry, and he was scraped. It must have been close to him, does coming in heat up near that road. And he was so pissed that he had to go down in the woods and hide for a few hours and then come back up and run around the roads. Does hang by the roads and just lay in there and behind a log and shit. And he's just like, ah. And I remember walking down there, and right when it hit me, I'm like, I need to be hunting here. What am I doing? I'm tracking, like, and I look, and there he was laying there, man. Oh, huge. Wow. He got up and ran, right? So that was October. And fast forward, rifle season, like, there was 17 vehicles on that road.
Damn.
Oh, my God, they smoked his ass, right? And fast forward to January, I pulled that camera. Fast forward to January, and I knew he would come up just in his general area and cross and feed up and down. Muzzle loader, and we had a fresh snow. And he was the biggest deer as I was running cameras in that area. And he had, I caught a big old track coming up out of that area. And I just followed him. He just fed up and down the road at night. And I remember telling Bo, I said, I need a camera on the road. Yeah. He said, what do you mean? I said, he's just up and down the road along this road. Yeah. Like, this is where he's at. I want to see, you know, catch him in January. I was trying to find a place to put the camera along the road, you know, because he would go in randomly when he would go back in. You know what I mean? But then the next day, we got an inch of snow that I couldn't go in there because it was quiet. I wanted to track him with my flintlock. Like, I couldn't go after him because it was so quiet. And then I let him go. And the next day, we got an inch fresh snow that night. And the same thing. He come up just like maybe 100 yards. He come up, fed along the road, went back down in there, and it was killing me. I'm like, I got to track his deer, but it was a crunchy snow, and I bumped him, and he ran, and it was a long story. But, I mean, I never seen him again. But it was like all them people, and he was still right there, like rifle seeing. I wanted to cry. I'm like, ain't no way this deer even survived this, you know.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Mobile Hunters Expo is a consumer-based hunting show unlike any other. It provides an interactive learning experience where you can try all things mobile hunting and learn from the best in the business. Come experience an unbiased, community-based environment where you can improve your hunting skills and find the right equipment for your needs. I'll be speaking at the Nor'easter Show in Mannheim, Pennsylvania at Spooky Nook Sports from August 9th to 11th, 2024. So come check it out or either of the other shows in Michigan and Georgia. You can purchase tickets online at themobilehuntersexpo.com or grab tickets at the door. I'll see you there.
But
yeah, they make it somehow.
Yeah.
I've noticed that the last couple of years, it's like we were talking about. I'm finding all my bucks right by the roads now. Everybody's going 2 miles deep, 3 miles deep, or whatever they're doing. And then I'm like, oh, damn, this buck's just right by the road.
Yeah.
It's going back to parking lot hunting.
Yeah. There you go. And then
and then it'll switch.
It'll switch.
You just heard me say that.
Yeah.
They'll push all the deer back 2 miles.
And it does. Goes in waves. And I said that one time I was hunting a cut, and there was a big deer in it. And I said, I'll get him next year. And I go, and next year's guys in there driving. I'm like, just like, holy. And I got no pictures of that buck. So the following year, I told my buddies, I'm like, you go hunt. I used to hunt in there. I gave up. You guys can hit it. I don't care. The guy's been through there. And they're going back to their hunt. I'm like, yeah, ain't nobody around. And they saw some big deer, shot one, you know. And I'm like, God damn it. So, like, it's like this. You got to keep scouting these areas and see where to learn.
Yeah,
they're
going
wrong.
Yeah. Like, and the way I have always thought of it is you get these places that once they start getting pressure, maybe someone shot a big deer. And usually if there's, like, an exceptional deer shot, no matter how hard you try to hide it, someone had a picture of it, and they can't wait to tell somebody they had a picture of it, and then it starts getting out, and people find out about it, you get pressure in there, and then everyone gets sick of everybody else, and then they all leave, and then all of a sudden it's left alone again.
I know if a big buck shows up, because I'll hunt a spot, and there'll be like one truck in there, and then all of a sudden I'll show up, and I'm like, whoa, there's 12 trucks in here.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, there's a giant in here, boy.
Yeah.
Because it seems like people, man, loose lips sink ships, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't tell anybody anything when I'm hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if you live far away, you know, but around my area, I'm like, nope. I don't say anything. So it's just like, oh, okay. Man, I'll be out doing anything, and somebody will tell me about a big deer somewhere, and I'm like, oh, I got to check it out.
Yeah.
Well, it's wild.
That's why I won't share any real-time trail camera pictures on Instagram or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I see some guys do that, and I'm like, I know right where that is.
Yeah, I won't. I don't do that unless, you know, the only exceptions if it's, like, not really a deer I was hunting or whatever it is. Like, I'll show stuff. Or then after he's dead, maybe. Even sometimes then I won't ever show up because I'm like, the deer was so recognizable. If someone was hunting it, they know I'm there. Like, I just avoid doing that.
I just seen one photo last year, and I was like, man, I think I know where that is. Then I went on a guy's Facebook, and he had like 30 pictures, all these bucks in the spot, and I was like, I know right where that is.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't go in there,
yeah,
because I don't care, but it was just like, oh man, I wouldn't be posting that crap.
Yeah,
no,
I post them, but I know it's in an area that,
yeah, no one's probably gonna get to.
No one's going, or like, I mean, like some of these areas, there's deer that I'm like, I can't even figure this goddamn thing out. If you want to, here, I'll tell you where he's at. You go in there and try
go
to get
for
him.
It, buddy.
I've been following him for 3 years. I got to give you all the info I know, and I do. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard some stories of some guys getting pissed off and just meeting a guy. Here you go. Here's my intel. Bye. I'm done. Yeah. It's just funny to me.
Yeah.
You know, I was hearing, speaking of a lot of people in an area, my cousin Mason didn't even know where he, one of the spots that he hunts is like, has so many people. Like, I wouldn't even touch it.
Yeah.
But he somehow kills good deer. But he's like talking about last year, he had like four or five of his six trail cameras he checked that were messed with, either broken or SD card stolen, or the camera was gone. And he goes, I really believe that there was one bad apple in there that messed with everybody's cameras, and then everyone retaliated on the people's cameras, and it just turned into this absolute mess of just...
Probably true.
You know, and it's...
You just stole one of my beers.
Well, I mean, you were over there getting... He was scared to drink them. I was getting a little upset over here.
Yeah.
I want to warm this one up for you. I'm nuts.
I know sometimes that hunting pressure...
You got to put the face of the can into the crotch.
Right on my nuts. Nice, there you go, Johnny.
Watch that bite.
Oh, man. You're one of those. You worked on a dairy farm before, I see.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I use hunting pressure to my advantage a lot of times.
Where are they not at? Where is anyone
like
not
like what his cousin
at?
Probably does.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, all right, 10 guys. Where are they at? And you're almost running cameras just to see where everyone's at. And then that mature grandpa is going to be there. That's why you hear these stories about, they invited somebody along in a gar holding. And it's always in a spot nobody ever wants to hunt. And he goes in there and kills a giant. You know?
Yeah.
Everybody's all pissed off. It's because no one was ever going in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the spots that I killed a lot of those big bucks at. It's just...
You're right.
Everybody walks right on by and never messes with them at all. Mm-hmm. So they're just in there.
Yeah. No, that's so funny. And it's hilarious. You know, we're talking about this where you hunt Iowa. I mean, that's your home state. Pennsylvania is our home state. And the same things apply as far as like, there might be tweaks here and there and tactics. But really, I mean, mature deer.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just... being able to pick up on those subtle things and just learning from it. And that's, hopefully I draw an Iowa tag this year and I want to try it and experience it.
You'll be moving out there next. Be your neighbor.
That's fine. Come on.
Yeah. Out. I'll put a tent in the yard.
That's fine, dude. I got a big enough yard. We're good. I got a garage you can sleep in.
There we go.
Maybe I'll come out.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
I got a good spot to stay. And I'm good.
Can't get rid of him if he...
I don't know if I want to let him on my spots.
Get a tracker on his car.
Dude, I know somebody did that too. They put one of those air tags in their car and followed him around all season.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am serious.
Went from bar to bar.
It's wild, man. I'm not going to name any names because I might get mad that I shared that. But I'm like, whoa. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, I know. That's it. Sucks. My truck is super recognizable.
Mine is not. I drive a decoy vehicle. Like, my big ass, you would never guess, drives what I drive to go hunt.
Probably a small car.
Yeah.
Model, year?
No.
I thought I was going to get them. Color?
It's got Johnny Stewart plates on it.
That'd be a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd be swarmed.
Yeah. You know, then people would know, that's.
There wouldn't be a place to park.
I need a decoy vehicle.
I think you do, Bo, honestly.
Yeah.
I know.
Park your truck in your driveway and go hunt.
I 100% need a decoy vehicle. I didn't even know people were seeing me until afterwards I ran into a couple people that, and like, oh, yeah, I've been seeing you parked here. I'm like,
Yeah, full disclosure, though, just because I'm parked somewhere doesn't mean there's a big buck there. Well, yeah. Maybe I've never even been there before, and I'm just
scouting. But they're thinking opposite, you know, he's in there looking for a big buck.
I do use it sometimes to my advantage of, like, tricking people.
I do that.
Of, like, I'll park on, especially a spot that I don't even know anything about, or, like, I'm just kind of needing a place to go on an off day or whatever. I'll park kind of on a main road, and
I go hunt somewhere that sucks.
I'll park in a really crap hole spot with my regular vehicle and have a buddy pick me up.
Really?
And drop me off at the good spot. And then everybody goes by, like, oh, I seen you on this road. I'm like, yeah, that's right, man. There's a giant in there.
Yeah, I can't catch up to him.
Yeah.
I think he's here, but I don't know.
You'll find your own
damn. I'm not willing to go in there.
Yeah. I need a shirt or a bumper sticker that says, find your own damn deer.
There you go.
All right, we got to talk about something other than hunting.
Sure. I was thinking about wrapping it up, but if you want
to... Oh, yeah, what's up? What do you want topic?
What do you do if you ever get a bobcat? You know, you're out
trapping. Oh, here we go with the bobcat
story. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You know what I mean?
Man, he's got a good memory.
Take a .22 in, and you know, if he's in your trap.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what I would do, Randall. What would you do, Randall?
Jump on his ass. Why is alive?
give some background on that.
So in Iowa, you used to be able only to trap one bobcat, and we already fulfilled the allotment. So we got one in the trap. So, you know.
Release him.
Got to release it. No matter what. Nope. Two redneck to have a catch pole. You know, they release it. So my dumb ass is like, well, I'm going to throw this jacket on top of it, and I'll just dive on it with my body weight, hold it down. And you can open, and my buddy's like, you can open the trap, because I was helping him run his line. And nope, didn't work that way. So I threw the jacket and the wind caught it.
And you're like, in dive mode.
Yeah, I was already dive mode already out there. Like, I'm sliding into home in the World Series, you know. So I land on top of this big-ass bobcat, and this thing's tearing my ass up, man. Like, we're tussling, rolling around. We're hemming and hauling. I'm yelling at my buddy. I don't even know what the heck I was saying. But, man, we finally got that thing out of there. But it was not a fun time.
That's funny.
And the bobcat was not hurt in the process, so anybody that wants to hate, no injury to the bobcat. Mostly just me.
Just you, yeah.
Just me. Because I never actually got my body weight on it like I thought I would, because damn, those things are fast.
Wow.
What do you think about how strong a house cat is?
Oh, yeah.
And man, how mean they are.
That thing went ninja mode on me, man.
That is so funny.
Yeah. I don't have rabies, though, so no worries.
Well, done. One time I was trapping. I caught that bear in a trap.
Oh, shit.
And I did the same thing. I hopped on him. I got him out. He had a lot of injuries on him, but I
was
pretty clean.
Shit's getting deep in here.
You know, you can always tell when Johnny's lying.
Oh, yeah.
He starts going. You know, he starts looking around.
I was going to pick up your podcast mixer so the shit didn't get in it.
Actually, a bear limped away from that one.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
He kicked him in the nuts like that one little salmon reel thing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the Johnny Stewart when you don't tussle with him.
Yeah, man, that's wild.
Did you tell the bear you used to wrestle before you got into it or no?
Yeah, I gave him like a fair warning.
Yeah.
You went to Russia to train for this.
Yeah, thing. I wrestled bears in Russia, brown bears. So he was a little, like, ready. I wanted to get him ready for what was coming, ass whooping.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
And he did the best he could. And
just couldn't keep up.
No.
Man, that's wild, dude.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, on that note.
I was trying to think of something to top the bear, but I just can't. I was thinking kangaroo or something, but. I don't think that's cool enough.
Yeah. If you're a bear, don't mess with me.
That's the moral of this story. If you're a bear, don't mess with Johnny Stewart. If
you're a bear, beware.
Beware.
Johnny's going to kick your ass.
All right, Bo.
Man,
this
took a wild turn of events.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Really, it's beers beware.
Oh, beers beware.
I'll get rid of some of those.
That's probably true.
Yeah, you just messed the letter up. It wasn't like bears. It's beers. Yeah,
take that story back.
I got this Booner Juice beer right here you can drink.
Booner Juice
beer.
That could go a couple different ways.
Booner?
Booner Juice.
I know where he's going.
I know what he was doing too.
Anyways, thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. Thank you.
Rendell, if anybody wants to check out your stuff, where can they find them?
Instagram, Facebook.
Just Rendell Eric?
Yeah, it's like double underscore on Instagram. Facebook, I can't remember.
And then Johnny's The Johnny Stewart. Where? What's your YouTube channel going to be called?
The Johnny Stewart?
The Bear Assassin.
The Bears?
The Bears Beware Show.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're going to maybe put some stuff out in around June, July, scouting, hunting from this past year.
That's
so
badass, man. Can't wait to see that.
When we did the last podcast and you had talked briefly about filming your stuff, the amount of messages I got asking where your stuff was going to be was pretty incredible. So,
but I want it to be a lot of educational stuff, yeah, as I like hunting people, maybe situations that we hunted in to where, like, you know, I'm
why
walking
there
through,
oh,
it,
yeah,
and if it worked or not. I'm hoping to, like, do that for people, not just want to see the kill, you know. So I don't know how I'm going to structure it, whether it's like maybe scouting or opportunities that you can associate with, you know, because it's not, you know, if you're wanting to just see Johnny Stewart killing a deer, so we got two kills, but it's like, you know, I'm hoping that I can get some, because I'm always into helping people, and I can get some type of people, oh yeah, I hunted a spot like that, I can relate to that situation. And, you know, so a lot of it is like going through the beginning of the hunt and what happened and how it didn't go right or what we should have did and this and that, to where people can really pick up, and then maybe with the camera, but see with their eyes, not just hearing me talk about an area, but, you know, also like traveling to different states and hunting and meeting different people and hanging out. And
the camp aspect of it.
Yeah, the lifestyle aspect of hunting. I think most people never focus on that much.
Yeah, like the old Realtree road trips.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Dude, I thought that was dope.
Yeah.
I hope I got enough of that film, because I really want it to be about, like, okay, like, where's Johnny now? You know, where's he at? So
that'd be cool. Instead of where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Where's Johnny?
Where's Johnny? There you go, man. Yeah. You should write you a hunting book. It's where's Johnny?
I kind of want to know.
Me too.
Not in this atmosphere.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. It's been a good one.
That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of East Meets West Hunt with your host, Bo Martonic. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit eastmeetswesthunt.com, Facebook at East Meets West Outdoors, and Instagram at East Meets West Hunt. If you enjoyed today's episode, please review and subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.